And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells seven parables. There's parables scattered all throughout the Gospels, but this one chapter has seven of them jammed in there. Last week was the parable of the sower. The sower went out and sowed the seed through the Word of God all over the place. I always love that parable because it doesn't say that the sower sowed it carefully. He didn't think who will receive and who won't receive. He just flung it everywhere. God lavishly distributes the word. He wants that word to be heard, and some receive it and some don't, but God still wants to fling it all over. Now, in those seven parables, six times the parable begins with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Now, it's funny that six out of seven, the other parable is like the other, so they're all kingdom of God parables. They're Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God. So that raises the question, well, what is the kingdom of God? Or actually in Matthew it says the kingdom of heaven, really. What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, some people would say, well, it said kingdom of heaven, so he's talking about heaven. That must mean streets of gold. It must mean mansions. That must mean all our loved ones who have deceased and gone to be with the Lord. And all that's true. Some people reflect a little bit more and say, well, it's not just kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean just heaven. It said kingdom, so it means God reigns. That's a little more reflective to say that the Lord God rules. He's powerful. He's sovereign. He exercises his providence, his provision. And that's all true, too. But here's what I notice about it very often, that when we think about how God governs the universe, one of the things that pops up into our head is, I don't always like the way God governs the universe. Right? People will say that. You say that your God is sovereign, but look at all the troubles in the world. I want to take a little sidebar for just a minute to talk about that, because I hear it. We ourselves sometimes can be arrogant enough to think I would run things better. That's not true, of course. But I want to say this. The Lord God has allowed human beings a very wide range of freedom, right? And the funny part about that is we want freedom. We like to think of ourselves as being free to decide. And so mankind values his freedom, but how do we use it? Right? Sometimes we abuse that freedom. And that means that if God has allowed humanity freedom, that means that not everything that happens is God's will. Right? You have to chew on that. It means he didn't want it to happen. He permitted. But I think that's a lot like when you're a parent and you want your kids to do the right thing, but you sometimes allow them to make a decision. So God reigns, God governs, and God has given us freedom, and sometimes we've abused that freedom. Now, the kingdom of heaven might mean heaven. The kingdom of heaven might mean God's rule. But the funny thing is, the more you read the Bible, you start to realize that the kingdom of heaven means something else. You know what the kingdom of heaven is most often? It can mean those other things too. But most often when the Bible says kingdom of heaven, it means people. Did you know that? When the Bible says the kingdom of heaven, it means the Lord God's people. And by the way, that's a grace thing. God's saying, I've saved you by my work, not by your merits, but by the work of Jesus Christ. The text said that the sons of the kingdom were sowed by the Son of Man. It's not an abstract thing. If I were to say to you, point to me the kingdom of God, you know what you should do? You should point to yourselves. You're the kingdom of God. Now, I want us to look at this fun little parable. By the way, last week's gospel lesson was the parable of the sower. This week, the parable of the weeds. And they're very parallel. Seed in a field. Last week was about how sometimes the seed bears fruit and sometimes it doesn't. This week introduces something new. The man sows good seed in his field. and an enemy comes in and sows weeds. And when they grow together, at first it's not obvious, but it becomes so. And the servants say, "Do you want us to tear up the weeds?" And here's the surprising part of the text. What does the owner say? "No, I don't want you to be a bull in the china shop. I don't want you to divide and separate." Here's what he's saying. "I'll do that myself." Isn't that interesting? No. Some of the parables, Jesus doesn't define the terms. Have you ever noticed that? Next week's gospel lesson has three parables. He never tells us what they mean. I always love those parables. Jesus is saying, here's a parable. A parable means he's making a spiritual point, but he's comparing it to something very ordinary, like a farmer planting a field. And sometimes Jesus tells the parable and he has nothing to say about it. And so that means that one preacher says the parable means this and a different preacher says the parable means that. What's the answer? I think very often the answer is God wanted us to just have the conversation of it could be this or it could be that, or this speaks this truth and that speaks that truth. Now, there's parables where he doesn't define it. Here's one where he does. Did you notice that? Our gospel lesson was literally two halves. The first half is Jesus tells the parable of the weeds, and then after that, the disciples, by the way, I love that, the disciples, who almost never get what he says, they say to him, "Tell us the meaning of the parable of the weeds in the field." And then he explains, I don't know if you counted them, I'm going to tell you the number. He explains seven elements of the parable. So here's the deal. Some of them he doesn't define, that means we get to argue about it. Sometimes like this, I'm going to read it. He says, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world." By the way, I want us to notice that. The field is what? The world. You're going to hear people preach sermons about the difference between the visible and the invisible church. And that's a valid doctrinal distinction, but that's not what this parable is about. He didn't say the church. He said the field is the world. Okay. The field is the world. The good seed is the people of the kingdom. There it is, people, right? The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. That makes this parable not too hard to get. So I'm going to notice a few things that we ought to pull out of this parable. Here they are. There is an enemy. We need to know that. There's an enemy. When the Bible says devil, it is not inventing a cartoon character. It is not a guy in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork. That's not the devil. That's the New Jersey devils. Well, that's not my notes. Forget I said that. There's an actual adversary. He is an angel of God who went his own way, who fell into rebellion, and ever since that time, he's been working against God and his plans and his people. Do we know that? Not a mythical being. Not made up. Now I want us to know this. The Bible's very clear there is a devil. It also wants us to get that he's very limited. And the Bible also doesn't want us to fixate on him. We just need to know about it. And the Bible certainly doesn't want us to overestimate his power. Now that's one thing. There is an enemy. But here's another thing I want to notice about this parable. And you have to kind of chew on what this means. The world is full of believers and unbelievers. Did you know that? The world is full of both believers and unbelievers. And here's one of the things we need to know. That's always been true. And going forward, it will always be true. The Bible never says that all people will be converted. The Bible never says that all people are saved. 150 years ago, there were some Christians called the premillennialists. They thought the church was going to bring about a time of peace and prosperity on the earth. How did that go? Not so good. there's always believers and unbelievers. That makes the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to bring people from unbelief to belief. Now, here's a challenging part of that reality. The parable says that the weeds and the wheat grow, and at first nobody notices a thing. When plants are really tiny and just beginning to spring up out of the ground, what do they look like? They all look the same, right? Now, you guys know I am no expert at gardening or anything of the sort. My wife makes fun of me because I say if it's tall, it's a tree, and if it's short, it's a bush. That's all I got. So to me, almost all plants look the same. And so she says, Walt, do not mow this. And sometimes she says, Walt, why did you mow that? But I think in my defense, when they're really tiny, they do all look the same. Here's the challenge. The Bible says that there's weeds and there's wheat, and you and I can't always tell the difference. Isn't that a hard part? And so the servants of the man say, do you want us to pull up the weeds and you can't miss it? The owner says, no, that's not for you, right? Isn't that a fascinating thing? No. It's funny that not only does he say no, the text literally says, verse 30, let both grow together. Here's what he's saying. Grow means to grow, to change, to become what they're going to become. Who knows what that might be? Here's what God's saying. Some people are not in the kingdom, and he's saying, but they might wind up here. Right? Until the Lord returns, it's a chance to come. That's what he's saying. Okay. No. Last thing I want us to know is this. Judgment belongs to God. Right? The Bible's very clear that there is a final judgment. There's believers and there's unbelievers. There's God. There's the devil. All of these things are at work. The world is full of messy stuff. Right? The church is not going to fix all that mess. The church is supposed to help where it can, but we're not going to fix the problems of the world. And Jesus is just saying, that's how it is. St. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, the whole creation groans. That's true, right? But he says, let that be. By the way, I think there's kind of it's funny, there's a little bit of a psychological well-being thing here where he's saying, I want you to help where you can, but the reality is some things just are. And he's saying, don't, right? You don't have to worry about it. But he does say this, let them grow until the harvest. And he's very clear there is a harvest. There is a time when the Lord Jesus comes again. And we need to know this. The world is full of injustice. You know that? The world is full of injustice, but God will set it right. There's some people that you see doing stuff and you think, how are they getting away with that? Here's one thing you should know. They won't. Right? But here's the beauty of it. It ends with this. In fact, this is the last verse of the parable itself. Verse 43 says, then, talking about that judgment day, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I want to pull a couple words out of there. First important word is then. What does then mean? Not yet, later. I heard somebody say later. Not yet. Some people think it's not coming. They need to know it is. But then means there's a time in the future when God puts things right. Then. Then the righteous will shine. That's you. The world that likes to look down on believers is suddenly going to say, that's the children of God. That's a wonderful thing. But I always love this here too. It says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Did you notice that all the other times it says the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer. The kingdom of heaven is like a field. The kingdom of heaven, it says over and over again. But here at this verse it says, they will be in the kingdom of their Father. That switches to a relationship term. When we say that you're the children of God, we mean that very literally. You're the children of God. God in heaven is your Father. It's very telling that the disciples said, Jesus, we don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And he said, our Father. Isn't that wonderful that the God of the universe has called us into that relationship? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our Father. A grace thing that in Christ you have been adopted as the children of God and you are in fact the kingdom of God. Notice that. Read your New Testament, see the phrase kingdom of God, and notice how often it will work to say, what is the kingdom of God? His people. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.